Hello, my friends, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Practical Parsha Podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, and I hope you are well. Last Shabbos, as I mentioned, I made a kiddush in the shul in honor of a siyum, completion of a tractate in Talmud, and the complete Mishnayos. And it was a great celebration, and additionally, it was also a celebration for the accomplishments from this podcast. God willing, it should keep going. I hope you made a l'chaim for me, for us, at your Shabbos table, wherever you may be. If you didn't do it last week, I give you permission to make a l'chaim this week. And in fact, it was such a great kiddush. Even a listener of this podcast joined for Shabbos to spend Shabbos with my family and be able to join the celebration. So, before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, would like to say mazel tov, say hello, feel free to introduce yourself. Don't be shy. I don't bite. My email address is rabbishlomokohn@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. This week's Parsha is Parshas Pekudei. Additionally, it's also Shabbos Chazak, meaning we are finishing the second of the five books of the Torah. We are completing this week the book of Exodus, and next week, God willing, we will begin the book of Vayikra, which is Leviticus. And just to give a quick overview of the Parsha, the past weeks we've been dealing with the Mishkan, building the tabernacle, creating the utensils, the vestments of the Kohanim, and more recently, how it was actually done, how it was set to be completed, who did it, how the Jewish people did it. And finally, in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu goes through a complete audit of the building of the Mishkan. How much gold, silver was given, how much material was used, what was created, who created it, and how it was done. And the commentaries discuss why this is necessary. Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to give an audit now to the Jewish people about what had been done? And that's maybe a discussion for a different time. But the first idea I want to share with you today takes us to the beginning of the Parsha. And as I'd mentioned in previous weeks, the foreman who was actually the person who created the tabernacle from the vision, from the instructions that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, was Bezalel. Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. He was the son of Uri, the son of Hur. And the pasuk reads, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur lamate Yehuda osa es kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. And Bezalel, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda, did all that the Almighty commanded Moshe. Now, if you look at Rashi on this verse, right, the great commentary, Rashi on the Torah, he explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu got the commandment from God to build the Mishkan, to build the tabernacle, he came to Bezalel and he gave him instructions. And the instructions that he gave to him were to build the utensils and afterwards build the Mishkan. And Bezalel, on his own, he deduced to Moshe Rabbeinu that it would be more proper to first build the tabernacle, to actually build the structure, and then build the utensils. Because I think in the verse, it lists it the opposite way. But he deduced on his own that before you buy a house, you don't buy furniture before you buy a house. You buy a house, and then you furnish the house. You don't do it the opposite way around. And he deduced that and told it to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we should do first. And Moses agreed to Bezalel and said and sort of gave him his approval that that's what he had heard from Hashem. That's what he had been commanded from God. And he was correct. Now, there's a beautiful idea, very simple but powerful idea we see from this week's Parsha. Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, He explains from this episode of the Parsha, from this verse, and from this Rashi, the importance of being organized and putting things in their proper order. Right? Many times when we have a task at hand, we get overwhelmed. We're thrown off. Maybe the bigger the job, the more overwhelmed we tend to get. But why is that? Why do we suddenly get all flustered when we have tasks to accomplish? It's not necessarily that we can't do the task, we can't achieve the goals, but rather it comes from lacking in two areas: not knowing what to do and not knowing how to get it done. Which means when we have the proper organizational skills and we know how to prioritize things, we're able to get through our accomplishments. When we know what we need to do and we prioritize the things that need to get done first, we're able to accomplish, to achieve, and to get through our list. You know, they say, there's an expression in the corporate world, that you always swallow the frog first. That sometimes the hardest things that you don't want to do in the day, you do that right away. You just get it done. And there's different techniques. There's other techniques that, for example, the smallest things that take you the fastest amount of time, do that first. But the point is that there's different ways of being organized and prioritizing. And I think we see that from Bezalel and from this week's Parsha, that Bezalel recognized, and that's what made him such a great foreman, that he was able to see the Mishkan through with such divine insight, because he was able to have that vision, to have that organization, to know what should go first, what should go second. And when we have that ability to know what to do and sort of game plan what needs to be done first, what needs to be done second, what needs to be done third, we're able to accomplish much more. You know, and I think just to make it very practical, if you speak to people who are very successful, many of them, what they do is very, very simple. The systems they use aren't these grand plans and, you know, fancy things to accomplish. Rather, it's just writing what they need to do in the order that needs to be done and crossing it off as they accomplish their goals. And that's, you know, what I try to do myself. Every day, I have a list, and it sort of gives me, you know, an idea what I need to accomplish today, and I cross it off my list. And when you come to an end of the day, you feel a sense of accomplishment of all the things that you've done. You see it in writing. It's there. So it's very simple. It's not anything too complicated. It's no formula. It's just writing what you need to do. And God willing, when we do that, we'll be able to accomplish much more. The second idea I want to share with you today takes us to Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24. And the verse says as follows, Kol hazav ha'asoy l'melacha b'chol meleches ha'kodesh v'ayihi zav ha'tenufa teisha v'eshem kika u'shva me'ayis u'shleishim shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh. All the gold that was used for the work, for all the holy work, the offered up gold was 29 talents and 730 shekels in the sacred temple. So the verse, the pasuk, is listing out to us in detail all the gold that was used. And the psukim, the verses further as we go into the parsha more and more, will delineate for us the exact amount of silver and everything, all the different parts of the Mishkan to an exact number. Now, I saw it brought down, and I think there's a few commentaries that ask this question in different forms. But the question that's asked is, why is it so important to list out all the, you know, the gold and the silver that was used for the Mishkan? Why is this such an important factor? And the Sforno, he makes this question even stronger by reiterating to us that the first temple and the second temple, the amounts of gold and silver that were used were much more than the amount that was used in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. That the Mishkan was a small building, it was a mobile temple, but the actual temple that Solomon, that Shlomo HaMelech built, and the two temples that we had, the amount of gold and silver were much, much more, many times greater than the Mishkan. Why is it so important for the Torah to describe to us this minimal amount of gold that was used for the tabernacle when it was built? And something that the Sforno brings down, which really brings out a very powerful lesson. It's brought down that the Mishkan, the tabernacle that Moshe Rabbeinu built, never was destroyed. It always was in existence. Meaning, and it still is in existence. Meaning at a certain point in time, the Mishkan, the tabernacle of Moshe Rabbeinu was hidden away. It was hidden away. It was never destroyed. And if you compare that with the temples, the first temple was destroyed. The second temple was destroyed. It didn't last. And the second temple, even though it had much gold, it didn't even have some of the original vessels, most of the original vessels that were created during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, that were built by Moshe Rabbeinu during these parshios and these Torah portions. So even though it had this, these utensils and this gold and silver, it wasn't on the level of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I think this brings out a very powerful idea that when it comes to service of Hashem, when it comes to service of God, what does God want from us, right? What does God want from you? What does God want from me? Does he want us to, give tons of money to tzedakah, to charity? Does he want us to build, fancy study halls? I'm sure these things, yes, he does want us to give charity. Yes, he does want us to build beautiful synagogues. Yes, he does want us to do mitzvos beautifully, to perform them beautifully and to not be, cheap with them, to spend money on these things. But what does God really want? God really wants your heart. That's what he really wants. The gold and the silver, you don't have to have that. He wants your heart. And I think that's the message at the Sforno he brings out, that the reason why the Torah is bringing out the measurements and the amounts of gold and silver and all these things, and even though it was a minute amount compared to other things, it that wasn't important, because what was important was the fact that this Mishkan, this tabernacle, was built by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was built by Moses. It had his heart and soul in it. It was built with the most purest of intentions. And we know that the Shekhinah, the divine presence of Hashem, the divine presence of God, rested in this abode. And it never was destroyed because it was built with such pure intentions. And I think this is a very powerful lesson for us when it comes to service of Hashem, when it comes to service of God. We shouldn't think that we need to have, it takes money to be, beloved in the eyes of God. It takes, I don't know, we could have all our false connotations of what we think it takes to be beloved by Hashem. All it takes to be beloved by Hashem is your heart. He wants to see your heart. Are you sincere in your service of God? Are you trying? Are you taking a step forward? God doesn't need our silver. He doesn't need our silver, our gold. We do this really for ourselves to make it more important in our own mind, that we should make it important, as we've said in other as we've said on other episodes. But the point is what Hashem wants from us is our heart. So it comes out from this that you could have a small synagogue that's very simple with benches, but it's very beloved by God because the place is filled with people and it was built by people who just want to serve God in purity. And that's how the Shekhinah, that's how the divine presence rests. And similarly so for us as a person. You could have people who are, maybe more simple. Maybe they don't understand things as good as everyone else. Maybe they're not, they don't look exactly, they don't look like the most righteous person on the outside. But they have the heart. They want to serve God. They want to connect to him. And they're taking those small steps. And that's something which is extremely beloved to God. And we have to keep that in mind from the Mishkan. That from the fact that we see that the Mishkan, even though it was a beautiful edifice, but it was much less compared to the other, to the temples. And it's still, that was the place that the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah resided in the temple as well. But this tabernacle was never destroyed. It never will be destroyed because it was made with that such pure intentions. And therefore, the Shekhinah rested. And that's what's important. The last idea I want to share with you today takes us towards the end of the Parsha. The parsha states as follows: Vateichel kol avodas mishkan oil moyed vayasu bnei Yisrael kechol asher tiva Hashem es Moshe kein asu. All the work of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was completed, and the children of Israel had done everything that Hashem commanded Moshe, so did they do. Now, if you look at the pasuk, at the verse, what's interesting about the setup, about the, you know, the order of the pasukim in the verse? The answer to that is that the pasuk reads, all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting was completed, and the children of Israel had done everything that God commanded Moshe, so did they do. Is that really, if you look at the verse, it should say that the children of Israel did exactly what Hashem told them to do. And then after that, it should say that the tabernacle, the Mishkan, was completed. Why does it first say that the Mishkan was completed? And after that, the Jewish people did what was commanded of them. Rabbi Twersky answers this question by explaining that if the verse would have first listed that the Jewish people had listened to everything that God said and they built the Mishkan, and afterwards it says that the Mishkan was completed, it would have had a connotation that because of the work that the Jewish people did, that's why the Mishkan was completed. Because of their actions, that's why they had the success of completing the tabernacle, of building the Mishkan. But really, in essence, it was really the opposite way around. The Jewish people did everything they were supposed to do. They put in their utmost effort to complete the Mishkan. As we explained, they did things that they didn't know they could have done. And they found reservoirs of ability and strength that they didn't know existed. But really, the success of completing the Mishkan wasn't because of their efforts necessarily. It was because of the success that was granted to them by God. Because Hashem gave them that siyata dishmaya, that help from heaven, to complete the mission. They did their part, and God took care of the rest. Now, if you think about this for a moment, in life, this could have a very important message upon us. You know, you think about business for a second. There could be one businessman who's an expert in commerce. He knows the ins and out of an industry. He's very organized. He applies himself. But yet, if he fails in his business endeavors, he's known as not a good businessman. At the same time, there's a businessman, another businessman, who could break every single business rule in the book. And maybe he doesn't even know about the industry. But yet, when he makes millions of dollars, everyone looks at him as the most expert and the best businessman around. In truth, it wasn't their efforts that caused their outcome, right? It wasn't because of what they did that caused that he should have success and he shouldn't have success. But rather, it was God who controls the outcomes at the end of the day. And this is with many areas of it in our lives, that we have to do our part, but success ultimately is in the hands of Hashem. You know, and it's a balance that we need to have, because on one hand, we have to put in our effort. We have to try our best. We have to work hard. But we have to also realize that success and achieving our goals is not, it's not in our hand. It's beyond our control. And therefore, if things are out of our control, there's no point of stressing over things that don't need to be stressed about. And there's no point worrying about things that don't need to be worried about, because ultimately we're in the hands of Hashem. Now, there's different things that could go into the pot that can help us, God willing, have that success, like prayer, davening, to talk to Hashem, to talk to God, to pray that we should have success in our endeavors. That's something which can help us be successful, but it's not in our hands. It's not in our control. And similarly, Rabbi Twersky brings down, this is the same idea with child rearing. There could be a parent who does everything right, and unfortunately, God forbid, their children could not come out the way that they wanted them to come out. And at the same time, he says from his experiences as a therapist that there are parents that did everything wrong, and yet their children came out fine and they are successful. Now, it doesn't mean that parents who did everything right were bad parents, and the parents that did everything wrong were good parents. But the point is that in life, most things are beyond our control. But we have to, that doesn't take away our, you know, our responsibility to do our part. But when we have this realization that we need to do our part, but yet it's not in our control, it sort of lets us live a more serene and peaceful life, because we know that after we do our part, there's nothing else can be done, and we're in the hands of Hashem. And this is the lesson of the phraseology of this pasuk, of this verse, by teaching us that the Mishkan was completed, and only afterwards it says that the Jewish people, you know, followed all the commands that God had given them, because they did their part, but the success of building the tabernacle, of building the Mishkan, was granted by Hashem. And this is something we see in this week's Parsha, and God willing, we should take into our daily lives. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomokohn@gmail.com. Have a great day.